Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I'm here tonight with our friend, Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply Co. Hi, Jer.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
Great. Great to have you in the house. And we're going to be talking about what's going on and what to get ready for and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, it's almost time, you know. There's snow flying, but it's almost time to get going.
You feel it coming. I don't even remember that 2022 happened. I mean, I'm already so into 2023. It's like
2022 is in the rear view for
right,
sure.
Right, let's kick it forward. Okay, and Jeff Reynolds is in the control room ready to take your calls. So 970-527-4868-866. KVNF now. You can email worm@kvnf.org with your questions.
And
you
know,
yeah. Jer just has a lot of good information, so he's
ask
here.
Ask me anything.
He's here at your disposal. And I didn't know this. I think I heard it before, but it's stuck in my mind now. Your moniker is also known as, I mean, we've got the garden gurus, we've got the garden guy. This is the garden pimp.
That's right.
Right here on the worm.
We will pimp your grow.
All right. Glad to have you here.
Thanks.
Pimp. Okay, so what is going on at the farm?
Well, besides plowing and shoveling a lot of snow, because I'm up against the mountain there, we're having a pretty good year.
Love it. Fill that pond up.
Yeah, I think the Gunnison River Basin was at almost 140%.
Mm, lovely.
So that's a good thing. If we can keep that going, that would be great. Have lots of greenery this year.
Yeah. To start the season out.
Yeah, it really makes a difference. And we went in with a pretty wet, you know, groundwater situation too. We had a pretty good year last year. So if we can keep doing that and the water just doesn't get all sucked into the ground, we can be pretty well set.
Steady. Keep that atmospheric river flowing this
way.
Yeah,
yeah. The Pineapple Express, they call it.
Yeah, love it.
So...
just shoveling a lot of snow up there, and it's kind of gooey out. I mean, walking
it
in
is.
Snow, you
it's
can
wet.
Feel the ground underneath you moving.
Yeah, it hasn't really frozen the ground that hard. It's really hard to plow.
I bet.
You not dig into the ground, but get the snow off. It's really hard. So.
Yeah, no frozen ground. Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have your greenhouse up, and when do you usually get that?
Well, that's what I was going to say, like... great thing to do right now is start cleaning out that garden shed and that greenhouse and getting ready. There are some people that are already planting. You know, I saw, I think Zephyros, I think I saw on their page that they have popped some stuff already. I think it's a little early yet, but I will start stuff like artichokes again. I'll start here real soon because they're over 200-day plant. So I'll be... popping those probably in the next 3 weeks or so.
Now, that was one of your new crops for 2022, and it was kind of a stellar crop.
It was amazing.
Yeah. So you mentioned how many days is an artichoke?
I want to say 230.
230,
maybe.
Yeah, that's a lot. But once those puppies bloomed and you were cutting and eating, those plants lasted quite a while, didn't
they? Yeah, they're pretty hardy. They go pretty well. I think it took a... freeze down into like 20 degrees to kill them.
Oh, wow.
So.
And as you worked with that and harvested, what do you call those, blooms or the flowers or the...
the artichokes.
The artichokes.
Yeah, they're flowers. They're the actual flowers.
Right. So. Did you see those come back?
They're flower buds, actually.
Flower, isn't that amazing?
They're the flower bud that you eat. Once they flower, you're not going to eat them anymore.
They look super like from outer space or something when I saw your garden.
They're really cool.
Yeah.
For sure.
Kind of a focal centerpiece sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But they came back and you got a lot more flowers. Like I kept just artichokes kept
coming on. Once they started hitting, they were on fire for sure. So. Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for indulging me on that because I loved your artichokes.
You bet. We did too. I'm missing them.
Yeah.
Now I'm ruined on store-bought artichokes, you know?
Right.
Forget it.
Right. So. That happens here in this valley.
Yes.
You realize what real food is.
Yeah. And, you know, you get the mass-produced stuff coming in from California or whatever, and you're like, I don't know.
Makes such a difference. You know, if you don't eat organic and you go somewhere and maybe they have... you're not in Paonia, or right. you're in, I don't know. I'll say I went a trip to Minnesota, and we had very health conscious group, and everything was supposedly organic and natural. And man, I felt like I was eating right out of the corporate grocery store.
Right.
It was, yeah. So it's a big change here.
It is. We're lucky.
Yeah. Super lucky.
To have a lot of that around here.
So you're thinking about the chokes and what else is going in that greenhouse.
Yeah. So contrary to what our underwriting just said there, we're not going to do the nursery this year.
Oh, okay.
So I am going to be growing seed starts for my farm more.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just start knocking them down based on number of days that it says on the pack of seeds. You know, your seed pack has all the information you need.
Okay.
Including the fact that you want to work with fresh seed. So, for instance, down at the store, we are required by law, you have to have a seed seller's license to sell seed and handle seed and pass along seed, et cetera. And that's through the Colorado Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
Okay. And we are required to pull all of last year's seed.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. So it says on the package, packed for 2022, mm-hmm. packed for 2023.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get our new seed in probably next week. But the stuff that was packed for 2022, we had to pull. So we don't have that on the shelf anymore now that we're in January.
Does that just get discarded, or do you?
Well, in my case, I have an awesome seed bank at home.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple of ways retailers do it, and people that have seed seller licenses. You can either buy from the seed companies at one price, which is a much higher price, mm-hmm. and then they'll take this unsold seed back and give you credit.
Okay.
Or what we typically do is buy it at a much lower price and then get stuck with the seed at the end of the year if it doesn't sell, but I just have an awesome seed bank then mm-hmm. because of it.
Nice.
So.
Mm-hmm. So that's very regulated. I wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeed. And then what we have on your seed pack, it'll tell you, you know, like how many days to germination and then how many days after germination to a mature plant. These are all things you want to think about and then think backwards.
Right.
And that's how you know when to plant your seed starts.
Right.
So.
Look at that package. When do you guys order those seeds? They're coming in next week. You got to do a lot of thinking.
Yeah, we've been studying seed catalogs for the last several weeks, for mm-hmm. sure.
Right. Do you have Laura Parker's seeds down there?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
We love her stuff.
High Desert.
Yeah, I grew some of her celery this last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing. Just so
off the charts.
So good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weathered the hot days, loved the cold. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Best celery I've ever had.
Awesome. That's great to hear. She's going to be here on As the Worm Turns on February 7th.
Oh, great.
To talk about her seeds. And I guess what I like about them is it's all that acclimation to the local climate.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going to get better produce out of something that was seeded here and is ready for it. That's why, like, garlic's a big one. If you can get locally grown garlic seed, that's always going to be a big one, because it does acclimate just in a few years. You know, it'll be mountain grown garlic that does well here, for instance. And
right,
same thing with
right
yeah, same thing with most plants and seed.
Mm-hmm.
And She does a really good job of picking out some nice varieties that really do well in this area.
Perfect. Yeah.
So
nice looking display.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you've got your seed coming in. You're thinking about what other things you're going to get in that greenhouse, cleaning
yep.
it up.
Yep. Get your greenhouse cleaned up. You know, this is the time you're going to be smacked in the face here and just what it'll seem. It's still maybe 2 months away, but it's going to seem like 2 weeks. You know, and then it's time mm-hmm. to be getting it going, and you want to get the greenhouse cleaned up, get those tools cleaned up and sharpened. If you're anything
yeah,
like me,
right.
you were so beat from harvest and everything in the fall and just over it, and you just threw everything in the garden shed.
right?
Now it's time to clean that up while you got some time. Because if you wait till spring, you're going to be pissed you didn't clean it up.
Yeah. That's right. And that sharpen the tools things, I think Lance would talk to that. He takes immaculate care of his tools. And a sharp shovel makes such a difference.
People have no idea. Sharpen your tools. Sharpen your hoe, for instance, you know?
Right.
Like a sharp hoe.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The shovel really works.
Right,
yeah.
For sure. And, you know, and wash them when you put them away. After you use your tools, wash them.
There you go.
Before you hang them up and put them away, because the dirt stays on there, and then especially with our mud around here in Western Colorado, it stays on, it sticks, and then they kind of rust underneath, and the rust causes them to dull, you know, and it's not a good scene. Take care of your tools.
Yep, they'll last you a lifetime mostly.
For sure.
Gardening with that.
Yeah, I mean, I buy high quality tools. We sell high quality tools because I think that is the most earth-friendly thing you can do,
right?
Is to have something that's going to last and not have to be replaced all the time.
So. Yeah, you do have a great tool selection down there, pruners and shears and all kinds of good stuff.
Garden tools are, they make the difference of enjoying gardening and maybe not enjoying it so much.
Being comfortable
right.
or not.
So,
yeah. All right, 527-4868-866, KVNF now, worm@kvnf.org is the email. We have Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply Company in the studio with us tonight on As the Worm Turns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year, and I guess over the past couple of years, you've had some supply issues with certain products.
Absolutely.
And some of those were important things, like the nolo bait grasshopper.
That's right, the SEMA spore, yeah.
Yeah.
The nolo bait, yeah.
And so what's your anticipation of that?
Noceum locuste is what that's called.
Noceum locuste.
That is the active ingredient.
That's why you're here, Jer, because you are the pimp and you've got the information.
Yeah, we're hoping we can get that again this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had an order in a year ahead of time, and they called us up and were like, "You're not going to get any." And I was like, "What?"
Well,
we had a pretty bad grasshopper year last year.
We did.
Too. Yeah.
We went to that molasses recipe, but that nolo bait stuff really works.
It does.
Sprinkling it out there. Another thing that was new to me last year was the corn gluten. Can you explain what that is?
So that's something people want to use early. It's typically used as a lawn fertilizer / weed preventer. And the reason you want to use it early is it's a real high nitrogen product, so your lawn loves it. It'll green it up real fast. But it also, the gluten gets out there and puts a cover over the weed seeds.
Mm.
And prevents them from sprouting. And so you can save yourself some weeding if you get that out there.
Absolutely. Is that pretty?
And you could use it on more than a lawn, of course, too.
It sounds like it's affordable. I mean, corn gluten.
It's pretty affordable.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that you should or want to keep in your shed? I mean, there are some things that you always want on hand, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely.
Corn gluten. Azomax?
I typically keep maybe neem oil around.
Neem oil?
Instead
oh,
of
definitely
Azomax.
Neem oil.
Azomax is like it's, that's azadirachtin is the active ingredient. Azomax is a brand, but
gotcha.
that is the big brother to neem oil. It's a little more concentrated, a little more processed, so.
All right. Yeah, I want to talk about that in just a second, but we've got Mary Lee on the line with the question. Hi, Mary Lee.
Hi. I'm excited I got through.
Oh, my goodness.
What's going on? Wait, that better. Oh, my
goodness.
I just had a couple questions.
Okay, can you turn down? If you have your
going on in this phone.
Yeah,
so
it's
why.
Really hard to hear you. I don't know if you can try to ring us back.
Let me try to maybe not talk. I don't know. Can you hear me now?
It's very echoey. Can you just try your question and see if we can catch that?
Yeah, I have a lot of weeds in one area of my yard. I use stuff like an old trampoline to try to keep the weeds down. And then I do weed, but I'm taking over this piece of property that's full of weeds. It's just had generations of weeds. But there are some things I don't want to kill, and I wondered how to keep those guys from getting killed, like the cosmos. You know?
Well,
I like those guys.
It's probably easier to kill everything and start Cosmos over in that case,
okay,
because Cosmos are pretty easy to start.
Mm-hmm. I'll get off because this is annoying, but maybe when I get home, you'll still be doing it. I'm driving.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. All right,
have
Mary
a good
Lee
night.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay.
So most organic weed killers are what we call non-selective. So they're going to kill anything you spray it on. Mm-hmm. In a particular case, like cosmos are pretty easy to start and get going again. So that would be an easy one. Otherwise, you got to be real careful. Maybe get a smaller sprayer and just work around the stuff you want to save. you can get a paintbrush and paint it on the ones you want to kill around the ones you want to save.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah. What's a good organic compound weed killer?
We have several to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's agricultural vinegar.
Yeah.
And you can take the vinegar and mix in some citric acid.
I've not heard of that.
Yeah, you mix in some citric acid and a couple other things that, you know, there's a few different recipes, and you can make a pretty nice little weed killer out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the weed burners, too. The propane torch on a stick.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big fan of those as well.
Why is that?
Well, it's a pretty non-poisonous way to... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so we're talking about carbon.
Okay.
Right? So you burn that up and you create carbon. And you're putting that carbon back in the ground. And the more carbon we have in our soil, the better. So.
All right. That might be something she'd like to do to replant some of that stuff that mm-hmm. she wants to save.
And then, you know, using weed block is a pretty effective way to...
To keep them down.
To keep it down, yeah.
When you use something like the burning, is that going to keep it down, keep them from coming back?
Depends on if it's an annual or perennial weed.
Okay.
They'll take care of annual ones pretty easily.
Some
of the perennials that are deep-rooted then come back, but you hit them again. So you hit everything enough times on the surface, and... It doesn't have leaf to do photosynthesis, and then the root eventually dies out, right?
Yeah, just crop it at the top.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do that a lot. Like, there's certain perennial weeds that I just cut right at the top of the soil,
mm-hmm.
and then when they come back, I cut them again.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later, they pitter out because they don't have the leaf structure to create photosynthesis and survive.
Right. So. I've actually found that with binderweed.
Bindweed's a good one. If you try to pull it, you're...
You won't, because you're pulling from China.
Well, not only that. So every time you pull it, you will never get one out. The plant is made to break its root. And so every time it breaks, you create two. So if you try to pull it, mm-hmm. it creates two. So what I do is I just snip it right above the top of the soil.
Right.
And eventually you can...
It changes it up.
Yeah,
yeah, it peters out. I hope my mother's listening to that.
Bindweed is my nemesis.
She would swear that the whole piece of it can come out.
it is my nemesis, without a doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
Gosh, and you find it all kinds of different places and where it appears, and sometimes it's like strangled a tree before you even see it.
Yeah,
you know?
The thing about bindweed is it'll take over an unhealthy area.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if it's healthy, it's like, oh, great. This is killer.
Yeah. Yeah, lush and green.
Right.
Beautiful morning glory flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Some people want me to just enjoy it and love the bindweed. I'm like, no,
it's my nemesis.
No,
527-486-8866, KVNF now. Can we go back to neem oil? Because I think that's like a multi-purpose.
Yeah, sure. So it has a little bit of a nitrogen factor in it.
Okay.
So you can kind of foliar your feed with it sometimes.
Mm.
Green your stuff up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's an insect repellent and then sometimes killer.
Yeah, that's what I'd be using it for.
It's also a little bit of a fungicide because the oil puts a coat on the leaf and doesn't let the stuff go down. That said, it can clog your stomata a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really use pesticides anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have a pretty bad situation going on to move to the pesticides. I tried to get the plant healthy enough and give the plant, in a lot of cases, what we call bricks. So it's the...
Is that the sugar?
The sugar, the carbohydrate level in the plant. And if you get the bricks level high enough, the bugs just won't mess with your plant.
Mm-hmm. And the...
Good microbes in the soil.
Okay.
You know, it's all about soil building.
Yeah, it really is.
And if you get it in an environment, and that's the other thing, like... I tried to start a cover crop, say around the artichokes. I started with some buckwheat and some things.
Mm-hmm.
What really took over was the mallow.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
And, you know, you got to give the artichokes some space. But after they got established, they just liked all the stuff that was growing out there.
All their partners in the soil. Yeah, companions.
And so I wasn't really weeding as much as, you know, we would weed, don't get me wrong, but... We would also cut it down, you know, chop and drop and
let it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm growing a Mediterranean crop in the, you know, mountain desert.
Right.
So I'm trying to create a really moist area. And then underneath all of that is where all the life is going on and everything's happening. And if you can just keep that balance in a good balance and everything, the bugs will take, good bugs will take care of the bad bugs. You know, we release some good bugs out there.
Mm-hmm.
The good soil critters will take care of the bad soil critters, and you just have a healthier situation in general. You're going to have better tasting food, stronger, more pest and disease resistant plants, et cetera. It just becomes easier.
Yeah, it's just that environment that you're establishing.
Yeah, diversity in the ecosystem in the garden is pretty important.
There you go. Diversity in the ecosystem.
Yes.
All right.
Purslane is like my favorite weed to leave.
Really?
Yeah, because it's really shallow rooted,
so
it's not really disturbing your plants. It's got that succulenty feel to it. I call it a living mulch, and then it'll spread on the ground sometimes. And then if I need to just chop and drop and mow it, you know, in my raised bed, sometimes it wants to grow tall. Out in the fields, it'll kind of cover the ground.
Oh, nice.
But, you know, I just call it a living mulch. And so that one, we don't pull at all. We leave that. It's a great thing. Purslane is my favorite.
So you don't use cover crops only when you've taken something out and you're filling an empty space. You use cover crops within your garden where live plants are growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want any exposed soil. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not using cover crops, I'm using straw mulch.
Okay.
So.
And I'm guessing, too, that that helps with water.
Water retention.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Just keeping the root system cool. So.
Yeah.
The plants can steal from your plants sometimes, but, you know, if you're, more often than not, you're creating a better environment.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you figure out what those companions are.
You do, yeah. And there's, you know, there's a lot of ways to do that for sure. Mm-hmm. There's, you can go to a companion planting list and just plant those, or trial and error, see what works.
Right.
So.
Do you make your own compost, Jer, or do you borrow from folks that make compost in the air? Because there's a lot of good compost makers.
Yeah, both.
Mm-hmm.
I make a lot of compost, obviously, just because we have a lot of plant material to deal with.
Sure, yeah.
But, yeah, we certainly bring compost in.
Mm-hmm. I think overall that's one of the biggest things I've learned on As the Worm Turns is that community of soil and how important it is. It's alive.
Mm-hmm. Soil amending is very important.
Oh my gosh, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, you're not going to get to the lushness and everything where I'm at without amending that soil. Just we're the desert. We're the,
right.
You know, it's just not going to happen.
And it can, that soil can be different even in the same geographic area. Just depends on where you are. I mean,
totally.
You could, so testing the soil.
Testing the soil. That's something that you'll need to do coming up if you're starting a new garden, for instance.
Yeah. You guys have soil test kits down there. Is that the best way to do that?
We do have some. The best way to do it is there's a few soil testing outfits online. And so you can go online, Ward Labs, Logan Labs. There's several different ones. Just, you know, you can Google soil testing, and there's a bunch out there. And then what you do is you get a bag of soil together. You get about 2 cups worth of soil. You should be using soil testing tools like a core sampler, stuff like that. But then you get about 2 cups of soil, you print up the sheet from one of these labs, check off the tests you want done, put the sheet in the box, the soil in the box, send it to them. And then they give you results back via email. And then you can just print them up. And if you don't know how to read them, you can bring them to me or, you know, and we can read them. So.
And then you know what you need to add
to
get that to be balanced.
Let me tell you, too, whenever you do these soil tests, these are in places in the Midwest, typically, where you're sending this off to.
Yeah.
And they're going to give you recommendations, and they have nothing to do with growing in Western Colorado.
Probably not.
People always come in with these, well, it says I need this, this, and this. I'm like, well, you don't need that because you're in Western Colorado, not, you know, Ohio.
Right.
And it's very different growing in Western Colorado. What our soil needs, what it can take, what it, you know, we've got very alkaline soil, for instance, around here. And typically a remedy for that is sulfur.
Okay.
But we've got plenty of sulfur typically in our soil.
So, yeah.
Right. And then we have plenty of calcium in our soil, but it's not bioavailable to the plant because the pH is too high. So, you either got to get that pH down. I typically tell people peat and compost, peat and compost. It's all about organic matter and acidic organic matter.
Okay. So.
But once you get, you know, the pH change, you can get the calcium out of it. But otherwise, we're adding calcium even. So
that's a lot of really good information, a soil test. I mean, that could change up your whole garden. You could be having problems somewhere.
Well, it's certainly one place you can look and say, oh, I see the problem right now. You got too many chlorides because you've been watering without a hose filter.
Right.
And we've got super chlorine in our water around here, you know, if you're using tap water. And the chlorides build up. They don't go away.
Interesting. So. Yeah. Yeah, boy, that whole soil thing is fascinating. All right. I just want to ask you, too, Jer, about some of our friendly bugs and organic things like ladybugs. When do those come on, generally, when you want to pick those up and get those out in your garden?
As soon as it's warm enough. You know, so they go to sleep when it gets cold. Like, that's how we store them. When we sell them, we store them in the refrigerator, and they just go to sleep.
Oh, really?
And then you take them out of the refrigerator, and they come back. So you want it to be warm enough. Green lace wings, ladybugs, these are all pretty non-discriminate predators. And then there's a bunch of predator mites that are good to have out there.
Mites.
And then nematodes are a great thing we want to put in the soil if you're growing root crops, especially something like that, you know.
Yeah. So. Lance had some great results with the nematodes.
Yeah, so, for sure.
A lot of good stuff to be thinking about.
Indeed. Indeed. It's all about that ecosystem being in balance, you know.
Yeah. You know, that's just life, isn't it?
Yep.
It's in pretty much everything we do. So.
And, you know, if you're going to get some pests, it's okay to have some pests as long as they're not wiping your crops out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's natural.
Stacy just let me know that she typically starts ordering mid-May.
Early
to mid-May.
For the ladybugs?
Yeah, when it's warm enough up here, yeah.
I had one on my kitchen windowsill a couple weeks ago.
I had a mosquito in my shop the other day.
Oh, I didn't want to hear it.
More than one mosquito. I'm like, where are these coming from?
Wow. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks, Jer, the garden pimp, for being here.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Nice talking with you. I'm sure we'll be catching up again.
Absolutely.
It's going to be How on Earth coming up next, and then One Woman's Perspective. So thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Good night.
Which you can make both slow and fast. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.